Hello, welcome to episode 42 of Three Peeps in a Podcast. We are out on location today in our central Bristol office, state of the art. Just before we get into who we've got on today's show, just to remind everyone to like our Facebook page, obviously, which is Three Peeps in a Podcast. And important that you remember that Peeps is actually spelled P-E-A-P-S, not P-E-E-P-S. On Twitter, at 3P-I-A-P-C, and also on Instagram with the same handle. We've just a bit of an update. We're just shy of 10,000 total plays now, so we're hoping to get over the line with hopefully this podcast. And just a few shout outs. You may have seen us sharing on Facebook, Running the World, which is a chap called Nick Butter, who is planning to do 196 marathons in each of the 196 countries of the world in 2018. So he's going to be a regular feature on our podcast. So keep an eye out for that and like his page as well. A couple of podcasts ago, we had the guys from Ice Cream Tacos on, and they visited our house on Saturday night, and we were able to sample even more, and we had a few neighbours round, and it was a great, great evening of tacos and Mexican fun. So give those guys a shout and follow them on Facebook if you live in the Bristol area. They'll basically come round to your house with a van of tacos, and you can feed, you know, as many people as you like, really. It's a really good way of doing things. So check out that podcast and also check their food out as well. So with me today, at the moment, we've got Rob Leet. And Rob has published a book called Five Ways Professionals Can Burn Fat. We're also hoping to be joined by Cameron Dawkins, who's also published a book, but he is currently stuck in traffic. The Bristol City Centre is a bit of a traffic frenzy at the moment, and also it's half term, so we can see people out the window queuing up to get in at Bristol, I think. So he may or may not join us. But we have got, as I say, Robert here today. Robert, do you want to just introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Robert Leet, and I'm a personal trainer based in the centre of Bristol, and I've just published my first book, Five Ways Professionals Can Burn Fat.
And what was your sort of inspiration? Why did you actually start this? Why did you think there was a gap for this book?
Well, the main reason for starting it, really, is I was speaking to a lot of people who, well, they are professionals, they work in offices like yourselves, and they were saying to me that they would love to get into exercise and they'd love to eat healthier, but they just can't find the time because they're too busy with their job. Mm-hmm. So me personally, I was thinking, well, there's something in there. If I can find some way I can help these people and allow them to be able to fit exercise in and eat healthier. So I thought about the idea of a book, which was partially suggested by a very good friend of mine, Greg DeTC, who has self-published a number of books, and he said, you know, you've got a book in there with that idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sort of, obviously it is called Five Ways to Burn Fat, and that sort of comes out in the structure of the book, so you've split it into those five ways and a bit more detail on each. So do you want to just quickly go over what those five are, and not obviously reading the book out per se, but just some of like the key highlights?
So kind of I've split it up into five different sections. So you cover things like you've got exercise. So from an exercise point of view, you've got what's called HIIT training, which stands for high intensity interval training. This is a way that basically means that you can get an effective workout in a shorter period of time. So this is where you alternate between a period of, say, where you go max out effort, well, a period of low effort or rest. So this is good. It just means that you can do much shorter workouts and still get an effective workout in. So the second point I put in there as well covers hydration, so drinking more water. It's very important drinking more water because, you know, well, the human body's made up I'm never sure of the exact amount. It's normally about 70%, but I've heard different numbers thrown about there.
That's same as the earth, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. And then also water. Sometimes when people feel hungry, they're not actually hungry. They mistake that hunger mistake thirst for hunger.
Okay.
So water's good for controlling your appetite and also cutting down on calories from things like fizzy drinks and fruit juices.
So how much would you say we should drink per day? Of water?
Well, normally what they say is drink when you feel thirsty, but a kind of rough guideline is about 2 litres, so that's roughly 8 glasses. Slightly less for women. Women is probably about 1.8 litres, maybe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just a rough estimate.
And to be fair, most offices now do come with water coolers. And even if you just get up and have a wander whilst you've been looking at the screen for a while, I try and do that just as a 2 minute break, just to have a short walk. And yeah, it's great to have the water coolers around. Just going back to the HIIT training. So effectively what we're saying there is, because we haven't got much time,
yeah,
we're saying that we can do quick bursts, but not very often. You know, how many times a week sort of are we saying there?
Well, I mean, generally with exercise, I say to people, don't do it every day. Do something active, but don't do like a high intensity workout every day. So generally, you can be good with as little as 3 to 4 times a week. In an ideal world, if you could do 5 and then take 2 days off, but 3 to 4 times a week is plenty. And then if you just try and do active things each day, like walking more, cycling to work, stuff like that.
And with walking, obviously, working in the centre of Bristol, you can pretty much walk from one side to the other, and we've got the harbour right next to us as well, so it's ideal for walking. So you would encourage people, if they haven't sort of got that drive to get to the gym, I mean, there's that sort of I don't know whether it's accurate or not, but they say sort of 10,000 steps a day is a good sort of guide. Is that something you share?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think I may have actually covered in here, is talking about getting a 10,000 steps a day, and or as close to 10,000 as you can manage. Mm-hmm. Because, if you get a lunch break, don't just sit in the office and work from your desk. Actually go out from the office, get some food and go for a walk. You've got that hour there, or half an hour, however long people get for their lunch break, that they could use to, just get out and do something active.
Okay. And so point 3 is pre-prepare your meals. Obviously, you need a bit of time to do that, and I'm sure we all try.
Yeah.
But you're saying sort of pre-prepare, as in have it in your mind what you're going to be eating for the week, or actually preparing them for the week?
So the point of that is basically, normally this is good for people on the weekends, especially if they work Monday to Friday, that you prepare. You don't necessarily do all of your meals, but at least make in advance some of your meals, because then all you've got to do is you've just got to reheat it. Mm-hmm. It's already made, so... Okay. That's a lot of thing that people say, I don't have time to cook, whereas this is a way that they can cook and save time, because all they then have to do is, if they're at work, they can just reheat it in the microwave, or if they're at home, they can just, reheat it in the oven.
Okay, and sort of, common diets among people who are actually trying to follow a healthy lifestyle and trying to lose weight, I guess, is that no carbs on the evening, that sort of approach?
I don't tend to, I'm a carb lover, I'm an advocate of carbs. I don't think people should feel that they should be scared of carbs. What it comes down to really more with weight loss is the total intake of your food. So as long as you aren't over-consuming on calories, having carbs shouldn't really be a problem. But I mean, it can be beneficial to people to cut down slightly on their carb intake, but... I don't necessarily follow that whole no carbs after a certain time of day. It's not something that I feel is that relevant. I think as long as you are active, mm-hmm. and as long as you're not consuming too many calories, then you will still notice weight loss.
Okay, cool. Get more sleep. Obviously, that's something we all strive for. Myself, I'm not a great sleeper. I get into bed sometimes early, but then I find myself watching my iPad or playing on my phone till long into the night, it seems. But obviously that's quite an important thing.
Yeah, so the reason behind sleep is, I was doing a little bit of research. I mean, we obviously all know that we need to get plenty of sleep, and I was doing a bit more research into how this affects weight loss. And actually there's been studies that have shown that if you lack sleep, it can make you feel hungrier, so therefore you would eat more food. So these studies where they'd shown that people who weren't getting the recommended sort of 7-8 hours sleep actually noticed their weight going up.
Okay. Blimey. Better get some more sleep then. That's the answer. okay, so sleep. And then you've just got some sort of general tips for fat loss success?
Yeah, so basically for number 5, I was like, I can't think of one point for number five.
Is it because you started the book by writing the title, Five Steps, and then you couldn't think of five, so you basically thought, right, we'll have a miscellaneous section.
I was thinking as well, there's a lot of things I want to cover, so almost five steps is not quite enough. There's a lot of other points I wanted to cover, so I was like, I'll actually include a bit extra in here and go into more detail and just kind of some general rules that you can follow day to day that are going to lead to, you know, you losing more fat and losing weight ultimately.
Okay, great. So let's just have a quick talk about your background. So how you got into fitness and exercise and diet and all that sort of stuff. What's your sort of background? What did you study and et cetera?
So myself, I've always been someone who's been quite sporty. You know, I've always sort of been a gym user myself too. When I was younger, I got into competing as a middle distance runner. I did that for a number of years. I also played cricket as well on a Sunday. So I've always been someone who's been quite sporty and quite active. When I went to university, I had two choices. I was thinking I either want to be a sports coach or I want to go down the fitness route. And I decided on fitness. So I studied from 2012 until 2014 at the University of Bath.
Okay.
A two-year degree in health and fitness.
Quite a sporty sort of university, isn't it, Bath?
Yes, yeah, very sporty, because they have a number of sort of international and Olympic athletes that is their training base.
And obviously Team Bath is, I know there's a football team called Team Bath.
Yes.
Is there also an athletics team? And
Yeah, they have a whole club there. Yeah. There's Team Bath Athletics Club.
Okay, so obviously this book, we don't want to go into too much detail because obviously we want people to buy it, download it. What's the options that they've got available to and how would they get hold of it?
So it's available on Amazon. It is a Kindle book. However, it's a common misconception. You don't actually have to have a Kindle to read a Kindle book.
Ah.
So there's an app that's available for Android and iOS. I'm not sure about Windows phones. Called the Kindle Reader app. So all you do, you just go to amazon.co.uk, buy the book, and then download it, the Kindle Reader app for your iPad, your phone, and then it would be available in your books on the Kindle Reader app.
Okay. And is there a hardback book option available as well, or not?
Softback? Not as of yet, but if there's enough people saying they want a hardback book, okay, it's something I might consider looking into.
Okay, so I'm not a massive book reader, so the future for me is audiobooks. Is that something else you've considered, or?
Do you know what? You're not the first to suggest that to me. Somebody else did recently suggest that I should look at getting this made into an audiobook as well.
So you need to find someone with a listenable voice. Obviously, you could do it yourself. But, you know, audiobooks for me are, you know, they're just much easier and easier going. I find books a bit of a chore. I used to be quite a big reader in my sort of school days, like up until sort of I hit teens, I reckon. But then, you know, if we had to read or review something for English, I would watch the film. I would find something that was a film and also a book and pretend that I'd read the book intently. But obviously the advantage of this, your book, for someone who doesn't read a great deal, is it is quite succinct and to the point. I actually got a colleague at work to review it for me. Now this guy is a nutritionalist of sorts alongside his day job. I'm just going to read this out to you. So credit to Danny Balgi for this review. So here we go. Reads well. It's a good start. And the author uses understandable language that anyone can follow. The testimonial from Harvey McDonald is encouraging and adds credibility. Do you want to just tell us a bit about who Harvey McDonald is?
Well, interesting story. Harvey is actually my best friend. I've helped him to lose a bit of weight. And he's also the person that helped me to do the design the cover for the book.
Right, okay.
So basically, he lives in Birmingham, and I've been working with him online via Skype coaching. So the way that works is that I don't do what people think when I say I do online coaching. They think that means that I do like an exercise session with them over Skype. But what it is it's more like use the word accountability. So it's like a way to help keep them motivated, because I would just discuss with them how's your training going at the minute? How many times you've been to the gym? Okay, let's have a look at your diet as well. what can you be doing better next week? So it's kind of, I just sort of help them to make better choices, and it's kind of, they have that appointment with me every week, in that there's someone who's saying, you know, you need to work harder, you're not working hard enough.
Okay, cool. All right, the book is structured well by breaking it down into the five principles, which we've walked through here. And you can get through the book quite quickly, which I assume is the idea, as yes. It's targeted for busy professionals. The author goes into why the five principles work. This is important and quite interesting. He also gives practical examples of how you can start applying it right away. And himself being into weight loss and fitness, I know from experience that if you follow all of the tips in this book, you will lose fat. So good review there from Danny.
Yeah.
Do you want to just say thanks to Danny?
Thank you, Danny. If you want to go write all of that on Amazon, that would also be very helpful.
I'm sure he will. So this book, as you say, is available on Amazon. Just talking a bit more about your background. So obviously we said you went to the University of Bath, and now you're a personal trainer alongside another job?
Well,
currently?
I was until yesterday.
Until five minutes ago?
Yeah, yesterday when I handed my notice in.
Because you got your big break on Three Peeps in the Podcast, obviously.
Yeah.
So what's your plan in terms of the PT? Do you go to a gym or do you work at a gym that you do PT, or have you got your own sort of function?
So the way it works is I'm a self-employed personal trainer within a gym that's based right in the centre of Bristol. It's called The Gym Group, and it's based in Cabot Circus. So it's the one where, if you ever walk past where they've got the Apple Store and Harvey Nicks, you'll quite often look up and see lots of people running on treadmills in the window.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And at that gym, is it a monthly, no contract sort of vibe, or what's the...
You're not contracted there. It's a low end fee of $16.99, and it's also open 24 hours as well, so it's perfect for busy professionals.
And then if they want your one-to-one training, obviously there's an additional cost, I assume.
So it is extra on top of that. Mm-hmm. But you know, the service you get for that is worth the money.
Okay.
So
yeah, excellent. Okay. So are you actually from Bristol yourself originally, or?
No, I'm not originally. The way I got to Bristol was after I graduated from university, and I got offered a job to work at the University of the West of England in their gym.
Okay.
And I've stuck here ever since. Okay. So originally I'm from a place called Tunbridge Wells in Kent.
Okay, I have heard of it. So you've been living in Bristol / Bath for... six or seven years? Maybe less?
Yeah, probably about... 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just obviously because we are a Bristol podcast and we like to celebrate Bristol, what's for you that your favourite parts of Bristol?
Do you know what? I like St. Nick's Market as well, because you've got so much choice in terms of food. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like the harbour side area as well. There's always a lot happening around here, especially in the summer. You've got all the festivals like Harbour Fest.
Yeah, lots going on all the time in Bristol, particularly roadworks and the metro bus, etc. So we've walked through your book. We can see we know when it's available, and there's plenty of information on the back about how you can get more from the book as well. So for people who've read this book and are looking for more information and more of a drill down into some of the elements, what would you suggest they do? Is there a follow-up? Is there a sequel to this plan?
Well, I have been thinking about writing a sequel, but this one would be more about aimed at people who can't necessarily get to the gym. So it would be aimed about how you can use your own body to work out with. So, you know, working out with just body weight exercises, basically. Because I'm always getting asked a question at the gym, what's the best machine for abs? And I just turn around to people and say, you, your own body.
Yeah.
So the idea kind of sprung from me always saying that to people.
Okay. So on our last podcast, Rich, who's one of the three peeps, said that he's devised his own exercises around the office. And you may have covered it in here. You may not have. You may not agree with it. Basically, when he's at the printer waiting for a document to print out, or when he's sort of stood up in a meeting, he will start doing tricep dips and press-ups on the machines and on the walls and all that sort of stuff. I know that there's an element of humour in that, but also there must be some sort of something to gain from that, because a lot of the time we are in a meeting, sat there, you know, twiddling our thumbs. Is there sort of some small things you can recommend for in meeting / around the office, that sort of thing?
Do you know what? What he's doing there is perfect. You know, when you find like, oh, I'm not really doing anything now, I could, you know, maybe go for a little walk around the office, or while I wait for this to print, let's do some squats or something like that. I think he's, you know, he's got a perfect little thing going there. I did cover something similar. I said, like, while you're watching TV. So quite often people say, oh, I haven't got time, but they still find time to watch their favourite TV show. So what I said was, while you're watching the TV, you know, you could do a few bodyweight exercises, or, you know, while there's an advert break, you're not necessarily paying much attention, you could just do a few exercises then.
Excellent. Okay, and can people get hold of you on social media?
Yes, so I'm on pretty much all of the social media platforms, Facebook, Robert Leet Fitness, Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. It's just rleet_fitness.
Okay.
And then there's always my website, which is rleet-fitness.com.
Okay. All right, thanks, Rob. We're going to take a break there, and we will be back shortly after. Welcome back. We are still here with Rob Leet and his book, 5 Ways Professionals Can Burn Fat. So just a bit more about the book itself. You've said that it's available to download, and you can get it on the Kindle reader, on an iPhone app or an iPad. But in terms of actually getting it onto Amazon, is it straightforward? How would someone publish a book, for example?
It was actually very straightforward, because Amazon has this service which is called Kindle Direct Publishing, which effectively means anyone can publish a book. If you want to do a printed version of a book as well, they have this other thing within their Amazon Direct Publishing, which is called CreateSpace, so that lets you do printed versions. But mine is a Kindle, so I did it through Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing. And essentially all you have to do is you have to have the book written, you have to have a cover photo for it, and then make sure that the book is in the right format. So I used a website called Fiverr.com, and I got someone to format the book for me, make it look correctly. He also did the PDF as well, funny enough, the very nice-looking PDF.
Which you can print out in a booklet format.
Yes, yeah, you can, yeah. And then, yeah, I just uploaded that file, put the cover photo on, and then you just have to add in, like, a description. It asks for a few keywords as well, so mine were all to do with like fitness and weight loss.
So if you search on Google, that would be one of the things that
and like what people would type in on Amazon to find it. So the way I kind of selected those keywords was, I got a friend to help me do this, he's already published books, and what we did was we put search terms into the Google keywords tool, and it would tell you how many searches per month there are for that particular keyword,
right.
And then whichever ones came up with the most, we'd put that as the keywords.
I see.
Yeah. And then all you have to do is basically choose the kind of split for the revenue you want with Amazon, and whether you want it to be enrolled in.
So you've got a choice how much you give them, have you?
Yeah, so I went for like, I get 70%, they get 30%. But if you had, there was like a thing where if you submitted it to this program, they would like promote it, but you got a smaller share of revenue.
So why doesn't everyone do 90-10?
Because you can't. You only have a choice. You have a choice of, you get 70%, they get 30, or you have like, you get a smaller cut, and Amazon take a bigger cut, but they help you promote it more. But I just went with that because that's what my friend advised me to do. And I think the other issue with that taking a smaller cut is, I think you have to then make that book exclusive to Amazon, so you won't be able to have it on other websites.
Okay.
And then all you do is you just submit it, and it's meant to take, they said it's meant to take 48 hours, but mine was approved within 12.
I mean, do they review the book, do you think? Do they make sure there's nothing controversial in there, or, you know?
Yeah, I'd assume they have some kind of vetting process where they go through the content of the book and, you know, make sure it's appropriate, really. And then, you get an email to say your book is now live on Amazon.
Excellent. Yeah. And how much is the book on Amazon?
So I went quite a low price, just $4.99. Mm-hmm. But I felt personally I've packed it with information that's worth a lot more of that, certainly the amount of of my time that people normally would get to get a lot of the information I've given. I feel it's the information is worth easily £500 of my time that I've put into this book.
Exactly. So that, I mean, that's a steal, really. Yeah. And in terms of the for the price of a pint of Peroni in the centre of Bristol, you can get five tips and with detail around them and actually information about how you can employ these five tips for the price of a pint of Peroni.
Do you know what? How you,
pretty good.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way, but yeah, it is about the price of a pint in Bristol.
Yeah.
Certainly in certain parts of Bristol, they're a little bit more expensive.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's where we are right now. Yeah, exactly. So, so yeah, have one less pint of Peroni this weekend, guys, and get on Amazon and search for Five Ways Professionals Can Burn Fat by Robert Leet. Anything you want to just say before we move away from the book?
It does also come up if you type in my name. So if you just type in my name, it will also come up on Amazon.
Great stuff. Okay, right, so I said to you at the start we're going to have a bit of fun. So first of all, I'm going to read out a riddle. And you guys, so we've also, unfortunately Cameron hasn't been able to make it into the centre of Bristol today. So that will come on a later podcast. But we're joined by a listener, Darren McDonald, who's going to join in on some of this fun. So I'm going to read out a riddle and think about this over the next sort of 5-10 minutes whilst we're doing the other things. And you just want to come up with the answer for this. Okay, ready? Play along at home. So the maker, this is an object. What is this object? The maker doesn't want it. The buyer doesn't use it. And the user doesn't see it. What am I talking about?
The maker
doesn't want it, the buyer doesn't use it, and the user doesn't see it. And I had to write this down because I couldn't get it straight in my head. Final time, the maker doesn't want it, the buyer doesn't use it, and the user doesn't see it. Any immediate thoughts?
Something to do with your face.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking something similar along those lines of the face.
Okay, right, keep thinking about that in the background. But for Robert, we're just going to do a bit of fun dichotomous questions, so one or the other. So quick fire answers.
Yeah.
And we'll do Darren after. Right, ready? So here we go. Actually, we'll do it together. So I'll do Rob and then Darren. Okay, ready? So ketchup or brown sauce?
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Partridge or Brent?
Brent.
Brent.
City or Rovers?
Bear in mind.
I don't know, I'm not from Bristol.
Okay.
I live in the city centre, so I have to be
I'm
City.
I'm going to have to push you. Good. Bristol City. Darren?
City, of course.
Chinese or Indian? Or not at all, as a fitness guru?
Indian, if I had to pick one of the two. Indian takeaway.
Is that for health reasons?
No. Just I think I'm more of a fan of the Indian takeaway over Chinese.
Okay.
Indian, definitely.
Okay, Mac or PC?
I'm a PC user.
Me too, PC.
Blimey, okay.
You're very similar.
separate at birth. Oasis or Blur?
Oasis.
Not a big fan of either. I think Richard would be very disappointed with me.
Do you want to pick one?
Blur.
Oh, yeah, Richard will be happy. Devon or Cornwall?
Cornwall.
Okay.
Same for me, Cornwall.
Here we are. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Coke, definitely.
Blimey. Nike or Adidas?
Nike.
Adidas.
Oh, controversial. Controversial. On a scone, jam then cream or cream then jam?
Jam then cream.
One's Cornish and one's Devon. We should be consistent, really, shouldn't we? I don't know which way we went.
Part
jam then cream.
Okay. And cream then jam. Well, actually, this is a question for Ben. It was beard or no beard, but there's no beards going on here. Just like stubble. Okay. So, and now this is just Bristol-based question. So, obviously, you've been here for 5 or 6 years. We determined at the start. Favorite pub or bar?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. There's so many. What's my favorite one that I've been to?
You got a local that you go to? And have a water?
I go to Piccolino's quite often.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because it's near my work.
Right. Darren?
I quite like the Steam Crane on North Street.
Okay. Very good. Christ, not over the water. Okay. Favorite restaurant?
Anywhere that does a good burger.
Okay. So like Gourmet Burger Kitchen or, for example, Steak of the Art in Bristol on the Harbourside?
I've not been to Steak of the Art yet, but I might come here again. Yeah, I don't mind GBK or Five Guys.
Okay. Or there's Three Brothers as well, which is I recommend. But yeah, Steak of the Art in Bristol on the Harbourside do a lovely burger as well as steak. And if you come in here and mention this podcast, you get 10% off your bill. So bear that in mind. Darren?
I'm a big fan of barbecue food, so maybe Grillstock.
Nice. Okay, excellent. And favourite Bristolian slang word? So, Robert, there must be some things that have cracked you up whilst you moved to Bristol.
Makes me funny how people call everything gurtlash.
That is quite a common one.
Or cheers drive, how everyone says cheers drive.
I just think that's normal.
Well, if you ask someone from Cardiff, they think that's a Cardiff thing, not a Bristol thing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Bristol?
I'm from Bristol, yeah.
Bristol through and through.
Grange, 96-2001.
Of course, of course. Fellow Grange pupil. All right, so yeah, hopefully you enjoyed that as a bit of a dichotomous questioning. We're now going to come on to a segment that we do every week, and it's called The Room of Doom. And it's essentially very similar to Room 101. They stole it off of us, I think. So, Room of Doom, something that you would like to put in there, something that annoys you. It can be virtually anything. If you listen to our podcast, it can be, you know, range from something someone does to a person, to a thing, to a venue, to anything. Rob, do you want to go first of your entry? And then afterwards, we'll take a vote on you know, who wins.
People that don't put their weights away at the gym.
Oh. Set the scene.
So, basically, quite often when I come into the gym to start my one of the shifts that I have to do as part of being a personal trainer, I'll go into the weights area and there'll just be weights everywhere.
Mm.
And it's one of the frustrations because it then means I have to spend all of my time picking up weights after other people who, you know, they seem to be strong enough to pick the weights up, but not strong enough to put them back.
And some of them can be really heavy as well.
Well, yeah, some of them. I mean, I'm like, well, that's like way too heavy for me, even with two hands.
It's a two-man job.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and also, you want them, presumably, you want them all put back, you know, in the right order as well.
Yeah, that too, but that's just my OCD, I think.
Yeah, well, no, I think most people would be like that. Okay, so, people, put your weights back, please. Darren, what have you got?
I'm a big fan of spicy food, right? And so my other half isn't. If I ever go into a supermarket or a restaurant and something is described as spicy, I'll order it. If it comes out and it's not spicy, it really does my head in, right? And I can't understand, as a marketing thing, why that would make sense. Because if you advertise something as spicy and someone has it, is disappointed by it not being spicy, then they're not going to get it again.
Okay.
And if someone doesn't like spicy food, they're not going to order it in the first place. So it's lose-lose for the... So mislabeled spicy food is my Room of Doom entry.
I think the problem with spicy food, and especially from supermarkets, is everyone's got different tolerances, haven't they? So a Mexican, for example, if you said it was spicy, to me, might be like, you know, medium to low to them. So you almost need like an agreeable scale, like a Richter scale, for example.
I think they do, don't they? They call it like Scoville scale with chilies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Chilies have this Scoville scale of how, well, hot and spicy they are, basically.
Okay.
But so there's a solution for you there. So everyone who makes a dish that they call spicy, label it with the Scoville scale.
And is this in restaurants as
everywhere.
Well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you get those restaurants where they make like the hottest curries you can get, and you have to sign a legal waiver before you're allowed to consume it because it's so hot that it, you know, it could cause all sorts of harm to you.
And some people will literally just order the hottest thing on the menu.
We have
like,
a mutual friend.
Yeah, like our mutual friend Paul Phelan. And he'll probably have one mouthful and then not eat anything else, just trying to you know. Bravado, we'll call it for now. Okay, so mislabeled spicy food.
Yes.
Okay, right. So mine is targeted at parents. I don't believe either of you are parents. But for me, my daughter is just getting into messy play.
Describe what that is.
I will describe what that is for those of you that don't know. It's, you know, playing with paints and lentils and basically anything that makes a noise or can be poured. So, you know, water,
and
rice,
makes
and makes a mess. Hence the words messy play. And this usually happens in my front room or in my dining room. And even though my wife does, you know, tidy it up afterwards, there will always be a lentil, there will be a bit of rice or a bit of paint that I'll notice, and I'll just kick it across the floor. And I'm not OCD, well, maybe I am, but it just literally drives me nuts. And fair play to my wife for going, you know, for letting her do it, and she's a big promoter of messy play and things like that. But, you know, I just find it all far too messy, and the mess that she gets herself into is quite remarkable, actually. So just as you're both not parents, just think about it as if that was going on in your lounge when we come to vote in a second, okay? Right, so we're going to vote now. So we've got mislabeled spicy food from Darren. We've got people that don't put the weights away in the gym from Rob, and we've got the concept and the mess of messy play from me. So I'll vote first. We'll go in reverse order. So I've got to choose between mislabeled Mexican food. I'm just getting into my spicy food. And I'm probably on the, what was it called? The Skeptor scale?
The Scoville.
Skeptic
Scoville scale.
The Philip Schofield scale.
I think like a jalapeno is like 250,000 or something on that scale.
How big is this scale, for goodness sake?
Millions, like the real hot.
What's the matter of 1 to 10?
Yeah, like those ghost chili peppers and things like that. Millions, they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that scale needs looking at for a start.
Scoville scale.
Just swap that out, actually. Yeah, yeah. Change the name and make it a bit simpler. Say that's in spice and the weights. So I do go to the gym, but in the gym where I go, the weights are pretty much always put back because it is in work, and you know, I'm sure you get all sorts of people coming in your gym. So I'm going to go for mislabeled spice. So one vote for Darren. Darren?
Well, I'd be a hypocrite if I said anything about going to the gym annoyed me. But I also think that if you have kids, you should expect a degree of messiness in your house. So despite the fact that I don't go to the gym, I'm going to vote for Rob's weight putting away.
Okay, Rob?
I'm not really a big spicy food eater. But I think if it was me and I had a living room and there was lots of mess, That would annoy me.
And you said you're a bit OCD at the start.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, I get a bit annoyed with my housemates when they don't clean up after they've made some food. So I think I'll go with the messy play.
Thank you very much. Right, OK, we've got a dead heat, guys.
Yeah.
One vote each. This has actually never happened before.
Will the other peeps have a vote at some point?
Maybe we will put the vote to them and I will put it on Facebook.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, vote on Facebook.
In terms of who's won. So for now, we're level pegging, but there will be two more votes to come, and we'll publish that on the Facebook page. We also do a segment on the show, which is recommendations. So just very quickly, is there anything that you're watching at the moment on demand, or a TV show or a movie or anything that you want to give a shout out to?
I've got very much into watching a programme on Netflix called Suits. Basically, it's about a law firm in America, and this guy who basically manages to fake his way into working for a law firm and pretends he's been to Harvard University but has never actually been to Harvard. But he has this ability. Yeah, he has this ability where he can look at something, read it, and memorize everything in there. So he's read a book about the law, and so he knows everything about the law. And the bloke takes a bit of a risk by taking him on as his like apprentice.
Okay.
So it's really good.
All right. Yeah. And that's on Netflix.
Yeah, I think they show it on Dave as well in the UK.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, cool. Darren, anything you're watching at the moment?
Well, I think it'd be borderline negligent of me not to recommend Cameron's book.
Since he's not here to recommend it himself.
So, Our Demons by Cameron Dawkins is a great book. It's about a detective in Bristol. Hopefully you'll have him on the show to have a chat about it at some point in the future. But TV-wise, we were chatting on the way over about Mr. Robot. So if you guys haven't seen Mr. Robot, it's a show on Amazon about a guy who's a computer hacker and about his way of seeing the world.
Why were we talking about it on the way over?
Can't even remember.
Because of the time that I said.
Oh, of course. So Patch arranged to meet me at 1:04 p.m. And the villain in Mr. Robot applies the same kind of timekeeping to his meetings as well.
There we go.
Every second counts, every minute counts. So my recommendation, and this may surprise a few people, it was obviously Valentine's night last night. So instead of going down Ashton Gate and watching Bristol City versus Leeds on Beanback down in the Sports Bar and Grill, which is obviously not what I wanted to do at all, I watched Bridget Jones' Baby, which was surprisingly good. Obviously it's a British comedy. It's got all of your sort of normal cast. The names escape me at the moment, but the guy who did the King with the King's Speech, he's in it, whose name escapes
Colin
me.
Firth.
Colin Firth. Yeah. And it's got the woman who's in Love Actually, who's with Professor Snape.
Emma Thompson.
Yeah. See?
Wow.
All these clues. I bet I'm bloody good at...
I'm better at remembering things like that than answering riddles.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to come back to that. Well done. So all those guys, as well as a few token Americans thrown in. But very good story, and I'd recommend that as a rom-com night in.
So it's your gentleman's area come back out of hiding now?
It has, yes.
Return.
Yeah, let's get the football on. So yeah, those three recommendations. Right, we'll quickly come back to the riddle. Just to remind you all what that was and myself. Where on earth is that?
Probably gone right past it.
Talk amongst yourselves. So it was... Here we go. Maker doesn't want it, buyer doesn't use it, user doesn't see it. Any other suggestions? The room has gone quiet.
I'm not very good when it comes to answering riddles.
Okay.
No idea.
No.
Nope. It's going to be something really obvious as well, that when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah.
So think about death.
Oh, a coffin.
A coffin.
Coffin.
The maker doesn't want it, the buyer doesn't use it, and the user doesn't see it.
That's true.
There we go.
Unless you get buried alive, of course.
Well, there's that thought.
On
that bombshell. What do you think about the pedestrianisation of Bristol City Centre before we go? I'm dead against it.
Well, I mean, it is going to...
Bit of Partridge humour there.
Traffic is already quite slow in Bristol. So making it even more pedestrianised is probably going to slow it down even more.
Yeah,
good
point.
You know, safer for people that don't drive, but then again, driver's point of view.
He's trying to stop people driving, and obviously with the metro as well. Darren, any views?
Well, I think the fact that Cameron hasn't made it is probably a good sign of what we think about that. He said that it came to blows in the street today. That people queuing up got out of their cars to have a fight about the traffic in Bristol. I think that tells you all you need to know.
Well, let's hope that Cameron managed to capture that, and we'll upload it onto our Facebook page later. So unfortunately Cameron couldn't make it, but his book is available on Amazon, Our Demons. Got a picture of the suspension bridge on the front. So for anyone who's from Bristol, which is probably about 80% of our audience, you may recognise some of the places in the book. Our Demons, and we'll catch up with Cameron later. But all it remains for me to say is thank you very much, Rob, for coming in, and thank you much, Darren, as well, for coming to join us.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, guys.
Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
No problem.
Speak soon. Cheers.